Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and now it's time for our weekly Asia Insider segment. I'm Rachel Kelly. From shoe shops to fast fashion brands, all have been feeling the pinch of lockdowns imposed globally to curb the spread of COVID-19. Fitch Solutions has highlighted that clothing and footwear is one of the most exposed consumer sectors to the global lockdowns and social distancing measures associated with the pandemic. But with light footfall in brick-and-mortar stores, brands have looked at alternatives to reach consumers. The question is, will this result in a reimagining of regional retail? Well, we're joined by Taohai Lin, consumer and retail analyst at Fitch Solutions, to find out. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Perhaps we can start off with a report that you've written. Can you tell us a little bit more about the impact that we've seen of the pandemic on retail in the region?
Right. So actually, the impact on retail on the region has actually played out, fortunately or unfortunately, in the way that we've forecasted since February 13th. So the key view, the consumer team at Fitch Solutions since then, has been that health and food grocery spending would increase, and almost everything else, clothing, household goods, restaurants, transport, IT equipment, all these other segments would see either declines or very, very little growth. And that has more or less played out across the region, not just across the region, in fact. My colleagues in London, in South Africa, have also said that these trends have also played out in Africa, in North America, and in Europe as well. This is, on a very top-line level, this is the sort of impact that we've seen across the region.
What kind of numbers are we looking at? I mean, which areas have been the hardest hit and why?
To look at the areas that have been hardest hit, I think, would be to look at countries that have gone through a significant period of lockdown, because that tends to be the reason why all these industries get hit very badly. So if we look at China, who has gone through that process and it has sort of emerged, clothing and footwear was, and still is, at least as of March, the data released from March, is still the hardest hit segment. It's actually very interesting, because in March, you would expect that the lockdowns have been eased, you would expect that clothing would do slightly better, but actually it declined further than it did in January and February. So decline in March was 34.8%. And that was actually further down from 30.9% in January and February.
But I mean, a lot of people are working from home, and I'm sure there are people like me who have been perhaps purchasing a little more than I should have been on other items while I've been browsing the internet from home. But has that resulted in a variation amongst regional sales?
So, yeah, I mean, every country has its own idiosyncrasies and slight positives, if you want to look at it that way, in certain industries. And these generally, as you've mentioned, tend to be online sales, because offline sales in most of these countries which have lockdowns in one way or another, or social distancing measures in one way or another, have essentially stopped. So in Singapore, for example, and New Zealand, actually, we do see that the retail sales data for March has actually shown that IT equipment and home office equipment has gone up slightly. The reason for that, as you said, is because people are setting up home offices before lockdown, and they are going out there and buying all these sort of equipment so that they can tide themselves and their business through the lockdown. But then again, I would like to say that it's a bit cautionary, in the sense that this is probably a one-off purchase. Once you set up your home office, it's unlikely that you would need to set it up to buy the same computer or the same monitor again in the next few months. So there are slight positives and in certain product segments. So definitely that's sort of a one view of regional variation. I think the second view of regional variations in terms of the magnitude of the decline. So if you look across the region, you would see a spectrum. So Hong Kong would be one of the hardest hit. So in February and in March, it declined 44%, total retail sales in general, 44%. And in March, it was 42%. In China, it's about 15% in March, so that's slightly better. Singapore is about 13% decline in March. Could be worse, it would probably be worse in April, but we'll see about that. And in Philippines and Indonesia, the declines have been slightly smaller, at least in the period when they were still at the start of the lockdown or right before the lockdown in February and March. So that was about 8.6% for Philippines and 4.5% decline for Indonesia.
I know that you mentioned that a lot of these office preparation or purchases to prepare an office, a home office, would likely be a one-off purchase. But looking at online retail sales, because a lot of even grocery stores have been going online, small restaurants, pharmacies have gone online now as well. But I'm just curious, how much does online really help to buffer the blow of what's happening?
I think to look at it from an industry perspective, so to look at the industry as a whole, it has helped to buffer the blow, but it's not enough to cushion it such that the industry as a whole doesn't go into decline. So if you look at data from China, you'd notice that brick and mortar fashion sales have actually gone down, like I said previously, 30.9%, while online it's also been in decline, but it's a much smaller decline at only 18.1%, which is about half the magnitude you would expect. So in that sense, as an industry, it doesn't help the entire industry weather the storm, to so speak. But for individual firms, online is definitely a good strategy, because just because the industry as a whole declines doesn't mean that your firm has to decline. So that's always the silver lining for online sales, I think. And on a related note, online food sales also have outperformed even offline food sales. So that's always a very positive sign, I think.
How much has what we've seen happened with the pandemic impacted the supply chains of these retailers?
One of the more prominent impacts is that now there is a focus on delivery of priority products. So that's for food, grocery, and health products. And that has been prioritized over non-essential products. And this is at a level of e-commerce players, so Amazon, or Shopee or whoever, they are sort of doing this sort of prioritization. And this would be a delivery disruption for everyone else. So including the fashion sector, including IT. So those goods will not be prioritized. So that would be a sort of one impact on the supply chain, that sort of last mile delivery side of things. The second one is sometimes there could just be a complete government ban on non-essential goods. So it's not just a non-prioritization, it's a complete ban. So that's happened in Kenya, for example. And I think the second sort of impact on a supply chain is that some of these retail units have been closed. Now the goods that are currently being shuttered in stores would be for a previous season, so for winter or for spring. And those goods are not going anywhere. But when these retail units emerge out of lockdown, they would be in the next season. So they would need to update their inventory very quickly and get rid of their current inventory. So that's also a supply chain impact that we'll see going forward.
And, you know, I want to ask you as well, what impact is all of this going to have in terms of how retailers are going to evolve post-COVID, altering supply chains, looking at their distribution network, how they're balancing brick and mortar versus online? How are they evolving at the moment to cope?
Yeah, obviously different strategies. So the short-term strategy for a lot of them right now is that they go and do something that will definitely help them turn a profit. So for a lot of the fashion companies like H&M, Inditex, Mango, they've actually turned to making masks, because that's what the world needs and that's what they can do as well. Being clothing companies, they do have a sort of a natural affinity with some of the raw products that are required for masks as well, so cotton and things like that.
So taking that into consideration, what do you think retail is going to look like in a post-lockdown, post-COVID world? If we were to, as you say, reimagine regional retail, what do you think it's going to look like going forward?
In the midterm, I think it's a little less rosy than pre-COVID-19. And that's because I think as a result of all the supply chain disruptions, as a result of all the work that has been stopped, unemployment has been rising across the globe. The US, for example, released data on that thing a week or two ago. As a result of that, you would expect that disposable incomes would be hit and there would be a lot less spending on consumer and retail. But this, again, takes a while to feed through. So, for example, in the 2008 financial crisis, it took about 6 months for this effect to feed through. So this is the sort of midterm impact that we're looking at. But 6 months, of course, is not necessarily a very... It's not a hard figure, because it could be worse this time around than it did for 2008. And in the long term, I think this is a little harder to say, but I would believe that we'll always have a need for the social aspects of retailing, the mingling, the experience So from a sort of anthropological angle, humans have always needed to sort of gather together around a fire or around the TV set or on the high street or in malls. And I think it will still continue. Physical retail will still continue. You just need to find a way to translate that into sales, not just in the physical store, but also in online sales. So I think you need to sort of do it will be more omni-channel. The long-term outlook will be a lot more omni-channel retail sales, where you have both physical and online sales and physical shopping translating into online sales and things like that.
So what are we talking about? Virtual shopping?
There's also talk about sort of a virtual mall, where you try and combine the physical and the online in an online virtual. The example that we had is, I think, League of Legends being the popular online game, and Louis Vuitton. So they've actually collaborated in the past to launch a physical product online as well as that physical product, but in a virtual set. So the character in the game would probably have something that is branded as Louis Vuitton. And both of these would be sold, obviously, at different prices.
This is sounding like something out of a sci-fi movie.
But it's sort of this concept can sort of be extended to a virtual mall. So where people actually go online to have that sort of a retail experience together, like you would in a game, but you do it to shop. So either a game that somehow blends some elements of shopping, a game that sort of sells you a product while you're playing the game.
That's really interesting, Tahai. And I guess that's really reimagining what the future will look like. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we could talk about this for much longer, and it's a shame that our time has run out. But thank you again for your insights.
Thank you very much for having me today. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. You keep safe and keep healthy. We've been speaking to Tahai Lin, consumer and retail analyst at Fitch Solutions.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.